Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Representatives of dozens of countries meeting Sunday in Paris reaffirmed only a two-state solution can resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The final communique of the one-day meeting also warned against any unilateral steps by either side that could undermine negotiations.
Voilà notre message.
Il intervient au moment
Post-French President François Hollande warned the incoming Donald Trump administration of upending the 20-year-old Oslo agreements. He said the two-state solution appears to be under threat. PLO Executive Committee member Hanan Ashrawi said the conference only called for a return to negotiations.
The issue is not negotiations per se. The issue is what is the basis of the negotiations and what is the behavior of Israel as an occupying party.
American University Professor Emeritus Russell Stone said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sees a new day coming with the incoming Trump administration.
He's expecting that there will be a new American foreign policy and that it will be much more favorable to his government's interests. It's not likely that the rest of the world will change in any way.
Meanwhile, President Barack Obama, in a broadcast interview Sunday, said the growth of Israeli settlements has gotten so substantial it threatens the possibility of an effective, continuous Palestinian state. Congolese officials say hundreds of armed rebels from the disbanded M23 group have crossed from Uganda into the Democratic Republic of Congo. They were defeated by UN and Congolese forces in 2013 and withdrew to Uganda and Rwanda. M23 had agreed to a plan to disarm, demobilize and reintegrate its soldiers to civilian life. The rebel leader, Sultani Makenga, is said to be among the dozens who have returned. This is VOA News. In Kyrgyzstan, a Turkish Airlines cargo jet crashed near the Manas airport Monday, killing at least 20 people, mostly residents of a village struck by the Boeing 747 as it tried to land in dense fog. The flight was en route from Hong Kong to Istanbul. President-elect Trump, in interviews with the Times of London and the German newspaper Bild, said he'll propose offering Russia an end to sanctions over its annexation of Crimea in return for a nuclear arms reduction deal. Vice President-elect Mike Pence said Sunday it's part of Mr. Trump's effort to reach out to world powers.
What you're hearing in his reflections, whether it be with Russia, whether it be with China, whether it be with other countries in the world, is that we're going to re-engage. We're going to put America first. We're going to put America's interests first. But we're going to re-engage in a way that advances America's interests in the world and advances peace.
Mr. Trump also said Britain's exit from the European Union in last June's referendum will turn out to be a great thing. He predicted other countries will follow Britain out of the EU and that he'll strike a new trade deal with the United Kingdom. Bahrain Sunday executed three Shia Muslim men found guilty of killing three policemen in a 2014 bombing attack. The executions drew fire from the country's Shia majority against the Sunni-led government, with sometimes violent protests that the executions were politically motivated. They also drew criticism from Iran and the European Union. The Turkish parliament Sunday approved the first reading of a measure granting sweeping new powers to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Mr. Erdogan's ruling Justice and Development Party gathered the required three-fifths majority to approve the 18-article reform package, setting the stage for a second and final reading in Parliament before it's taken to a popular referendum. Iraqi special forces are reportedly clearing the campus of Mosul University of Islamic State defenders as they press their nearly three-month offensive to retake the Iraqi city. Counterterrorism service troops drove jihadists from the university complex Saturday. Clearing operations Sunday were slowed by booby traps. At this week's annual World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, the charity group Oxfam said eight men own as much wealth as the poorest half of the world's population. It is said the combined wealth of $3.6 billion is the equivalent of six Americans, one Spaniard, and one Mexican. Another deadly prison riot in Brazil, where at least 27 inmates were killed in violence that broke out Saturday. The latest violence erupted in the north overcrowded Alcaçuz prison in the country's northwest. Similar gang violence has left dozens of other inmates dead this month. The last king of Rwanda, King Kigali, buried Sunday in his native land after decades of exile in the U.S.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Monday, January 16th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Gambian President-elect Adama Barrow is said to be in neighboring Senegal.
So I can confirm that President-elect Adama Barrow of the Gambia is currently in Dakar, thanks to the decision made by ECOWAS leaders that met in Malian capital Bamako.
That's VOA's String of Sydney Marina in the Senegalese capital, Dakar. An official of Amnesty International will talk with us about President Yahya Jammeh's human rights record. Uganda opposition leader Chisa Besigye praises Ghana as a shining example of democratization in Africa. And a Congolese opposition leader returned home on Sunday after 4 years in exile.
I'm very, very happy to come back home now. I'm now with my political family. But it's not only for me. It's for to leave now somebody in prison and in exile.
Roger Lumbala is the leader of the opposition rally of Congolese Democrats and Nationalist Party. And today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in the United States. Those stories, plus Samson O'Malley's sports, and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Gambia's president-elect Adama Barrow has met in Mali with world leaders trying to arrange a peaceful outcome of the leadership crisis in the Gambia. The presidents of France and Mali, François Hollande and Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta, called on Gambian President Yahya Jammeh to step down when his current 5-year term of office ends in during the coming week. Barrow, who attended the annual France-Africa summit in Bamako on Saturday, says he is continuing to plan for his inauguration coming this Thursday. Barrow was officially declared the winner of last month's election by a slim margin. Yahya Jammeh originally accepted defeat, but then reversed himself and filed a suit to challenge the results, citing voting irregularities. Meanwhile, there are reports that Mr. Barrow is in neighboring Senegal. On the line from Dakar is VOA String of Sydney Marina. Good morning to you, Sydney.
Good morning from Dakar, Senegal, James.
Again, the news is that Gambian President-elect Adama Barrow is in Dakar, Senegal. Have you heard that?
Yes, James, I can confirm that President-elect Adama Barrow of the Gambia is currently in Dakar, thanks to the decision made by ECOWAS leaders that met in Malian capital Bamako. They agreed that the president-elect should be moved to Dakar for safety reasons, and then he will be going to Banjul on his inauguration day. That is going to be on Thursday, the 19th.
In the meantime, as you mentioned, the inauguration day is on Thursday, January 19th. He's out of the country. So what happens if he does not come back to the country on inauguration day?
This is the fear of ordinary Gambians that Barrow is out of the country. But technically, ECOWAS is aware of the fact that the security and the safety of the president-elect is one of their top priorities. In a community day issue in Abuja 2 weeks ago, this was one of the things discussed, that the ECOWAS will provide security to president-elect Adama Barrow. Yes, Adama will be going to Banjul, according to the information we had on the inauguration day. So people are waiting for this 19th January when Adama Barrow will be inaugurated and Senegal will take a lead to bring him to the Gambia.
In the meantime, the Gambian parliament is supposed to be meeting. Is it Monday or Tuesday? Because President Yahya Jammeh had asked them to do something.
Yeah, today the National Assembly will convene an extraordinary session to tier two bills. This is the amnesty bill proposed by Yahya Jammeh during his last Tuesday midnight speech, where he directed his attorney general to draft an amnesty bill that seeks, among others, to call for reconciliation and also to avoid witch hunting after his term in office. Another bill, according to sources in Banjul, is a bill to extend President Jammeh's mandate until the Supreme Court decide on the legal challenge he filed, which also seek, among others, to nullify the election that declare Barrow as the president-elect of the Gambia. So Gambians are working keenly what will happen tomorrow and the days leading up for the inauguration on Thursday.
Lots of Gambians are in Senegal since the regime of Yahya Jammeh has begun cracking down people like you. What now do we know about the number of people from the Gambia since this election crisis began going into Senegal?
Since Jammeh refused to step down, a lot of Gambians now, according to the United Nations Office for Refugees here in Dakar, Gambians in their thousands have crossed the border to Senegal, where they are seeking protection and, you know, refugee because of fear that violence will break out on the 19th January if President Jammeh failed to step down. And also, a lot of Gambians, thousands, are moving from the urban centers to the interior of the country because of the same fear.
That's Vio String of Sydney Mariner speaking with us from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. Sabrina Martani is an Amnesty International West Africa researcher. She talks to Ricky Stryak about the current human rights situation in Gambia amid political tensions.
In the last few weeks, we've seen a deterioration in the human rights situation in Gambia, which was already quite poor. There was at least six members of the Gambia Has Decided movement, a social movement, who were arrested for either wearing or selling T-shirts, although they've now been released, and four radio stations have been closed down. Since then, many people have fled the country, including the head of the Electoral Commission and some senior members of the Gambia Has Decided movement. And, of course, many other Gambians are leaving out of fear for what may happen next.
According to the UNHCR, there's a rising number of people crossing to Senegal from the Gambia amid tension. What is Amnesty? Are you guys aware of this situation? What does it look like for the people coming into Senegal, and why are they leaving the Gambia?
We have heard anecdotally that people are growing scared, thinking that there might be a military intervention from ECOWAS. And so people who have means, are leaving the country. Also, some agencies such as the UN and the US Embassy, I understand family members have been told to leave Gambia just in case that there is any more tension in the next coming week.
It's being reported that President-elect Adama Barrow is in Senegal awaiting his January 19th inauguration date. Were there concerns about Barrow's safety in Gambia as far as you guys knew?
We've heard from various areas that, yes, you know, people have been very concerned about the safety of President-elect Barrow and other coalition members. I mean, Gambia does have a history where political opponents are often targeted and arrested, detained. So I think there has been some general concern about this. I can only presume that, you know, a decision has been taken for President-elect Barrow to be outside of Gambia until the proposed inauguration date for his safety, and perhaps to also try and continue mediation talks with ECOWAS.
What are the main human rights concerns you guys have coming up this week in the Gambia as the inauguration date, the alleged inauguration date, the supposed inauguration date approaches?
Amnesty International is, you know, deeply concerned around this week with the proposed inauguration date upcoming, and particularly that there will be more crackdowns on freedom of expression for Gambians who want to speak out freely about what's going on, and also for, you know, freedom of peaceful assembly in case people want to come out and show their opposition or indeed their support to Jammeh for all Gambians. It's really critical that during this week and the upcoming weeks that the rights of all Gambians on either side of, you know, the political fence are protected and supported. Of course, there are there's more suggestions that there could be a military intervention, and this, of course, risks many civilians also being implicated and a lot of serious human rights abuses that could happen. So we're really hoping that a diplomatic solution may be found.
That was Sabrina Martani, an Amnesty International West Africa researcher. She was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Dakar, Senegal. Today is Monday, January 16th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Batty in Washington. Let's send shout out to listeners on these our VOA affiliate stations, Kira FM in Jinja, Uganda, and Capital FM in Blantyre, Malawi. Daybreak Africa time is now 14 and a half minutes past the hour. Ugandan opposition leader Kizza Besigye says the political struggle in his country is not about electing him president, but rather, he said, it is a struggle for the Ugandan people to regain control of their democracy. Besigye was one of several opposition leaders invited to attend this month's inauguration of a Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo. Besigye describes Ghana as a shining example of democratization in Africa because of that country's ability to peacefully change its political leaders, contrary to Uganda, which Besigye says has never had a peaceful transfer of power.
Well, it was a great honor to me and to our political party, the Forum for Democratic Change, that we were invited, myself and the FDC party leader, Major General Mugisha Muntu, to be a part of the great history that Ghana is making in politics of the continent. Ghana is a shining example of democratization in Africa. In fact, I think it is performed in an unparalleled manner, considering that they have been changing leaders peacefully, and not just leaders, but even political ruling parties have been changing, opposition coming into government and vice versa. This is truly inspiring for countries like mine, Uganda, where no single leader has ever handed over power peacefully to another leader. Every leader of Uganda has bombed their way into office and have all been bombed out of office. Therefore, to see what is happening in Ghana and to know that they respect, they promote democracy, the reason indeed they invited us, a sister party which espouses democratic governance, is very encouraging to all of us.
Dr. Besigye, Nana Akufo-Addo in Ghana, the new president there, he had been an opposition for at least two times. He ran for president and he was unsuccessful. Now, looking at his experience, the fact that this time around he pulled it through, does that give you hope, Dr. Besigye, that having tried at least for two or three times yourself, that one day you are going to be the president of Uganda?
Yeah, no, first of all, let me say this, that the struggle in Uganda, as I have pointed out, is not a struggle to get Besigye into power. It's a struggle to get the people of Uganda regain control over their country. Our country is hostage. Our country is captive. And the people of Uganda are struggling to regain influence, to regain control in their country so that they determine who leads them and they determine how they are led. So it's a liberation struggle that we are conducting in Uganda. Having said that, yes, in fact, talking to President Nana Akufo-Addo, he pointed out that, yes, people must struggle, should never give up, and that the more they struggle, the more they are likely to get to the objectives of their struggle. So he encouraged us indeed that we should remain strong and eventually we shall overcome.
Dr. Chisa Besigye is the leader of Uganda's main opposition Forum for Democratic Change Party. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kampala. Congolese opposition leader Roger Lumbala says he has not been in touch and wants no contact with the mostly ethnic Tutsi M23 rebel group who had been fighting in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Instead, Lumbala says he wants nothing but peace for his country. Lumbala, who is head of the much smaller opposition Rally of Congolese Democrats and Nationalist Party, had been accused of high treason by the Kabila government for allegedly supporting the M23. His return from exile was one of the requirements of the New Year's Eve agreement reached between President Kabila's government and the opposition. Lumbala returned to Kinshasa yesterday, Sunday, and tells me he is happy to be back home with his political family, especially after 4 years in exile.
I am happy to be back home because we have the agreement for Senko. I'm very, very happy to come back home now. I am now with my political family. I see in my country, in my people, I'm happy.
So you want to come back home to contribute to the peace process?
Yeah, in the peace process for Senko, but it's not only for me. It's for 7 persons to live now, somebody in prison and in exile. He now is okay, but for another person is not okay.
So you want other Congolese who are in prison and who are in exile to be able to return home?
I say it's very important for me because I live now 4 years in exile.
Mr. Lumbala, it is believed that you supported the M23 rebels who are fighting in the east of the country. What would you like to say to them? Would you like to tell the rebels now that it is time for them to lay down their arms in the interest of peace?
I have not the rule for M23. I have not the contact with M23. I don't like to take the contact with them. I want now the peace in my country. I want peace on Congo. I support the agreement between majority and the opposition. I support the peace in Congo. I don't like again anything to come to in Congo with world. I am a Congolese. I like the peace for my country. I like to see the peace for my people.
We hear that there are still political prisoners. What do you want to say to the Kabila government? Do you want an immediate release of other political prisoners?
You know, I am in a rassemblement. I am in a rassemblement. I don't give my position now before to talk with the responsible rassemblement. I don't like to give my opinion now. After tomorrow, if I talk with this responsible, I give you my opinion. But for now, I support anything the rassemblement do. I support anything rassemblement talk.
Mr. Lumbala, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much to my brother.
Roger Lumbala is the leader of the much smaller opposition rally of Congolese Democrats and Nationalist Party. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. Today is a federal holiday here in the United States in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who preached nonviolence during the civil rights movement to end racial segregation in the United States. The day is observed on the third Monday of January each year, which is close to January 15, Dr. King's birthday. Here are excerpts from some of Dr. King's speeches.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Excerpts from some of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches, whose birthday is being celebrated today here in the United States. And it's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. Here's Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. Very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good morning, James. We begin with the African Cup of Nations, which got underway in Gabon on Saturday afternoon. After the beautiful opening ceremony, the hosts, beheaded by the brilliant Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang opener, soon got disappointed as Joao Stores grabbed a dramatic 90th-minute equalizer for debutant Guinea-Bissau as they recovered from that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang strike to hold host Gabon to a 1-1 draw in the African Cup of Nations opening game in Libreville. In the second game in Group A, 2013 runners-up Burkina Faso late equalizer through the centre-back Issa Fudayo was enough to earn a fortuitous 1-1 draw with four times winner Cameroon in their Group A African Cup of Nations clash at the Libreville Stade d'Amite on Saturday. On Sunday, Algeria's newly crowned African Footballer of the Year, Riyad Mahrez, scored twice as they rescued a point in a 2-2 draw against Zimbabwe in a thrilling opener in Group B game at the African Cup of Nations on Sunday. Mahrez had handed Algeria a 12-minute lead with a goal benefiting his new status, but then saw Zimbabwe came from behind to lead with just 8 minutes left before the Leicester City forward salvaged the draw by completing his double. The first win of the tournament, however, came in the second Group B game on Sunday when the Teranga Lions of Senegal defeated Tunisia 2-0. Sadio Mane and Chikao Kayote got their names on the scorer's sheet. In today's fixture, defending champions and title holder Cote d'Ivoire will confront Togo, while DR Congo will face Morocco. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a very good day. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Gambia's president-elect Adama Barrow has met in Mali with world leaders trying to arrange a peaceful outcome of the leadership crisis in the Gambia. The presidents of France and Mali, François Hollande and Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta, called on Gambian President Yahya Jammeh to step down when his current 5-year term of office ends during the coming week. Barrow, who attended the annual France-Africa Summit in Bamako on Saturday, says he is continuing to plan for his inauguration on Thursday. Congolese opposition leader Roger Lumbala says he has not been in touch and wants no contact with the mostly ethnic Tutsi M23 rebel group who had been fighting in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Instead, Lumbala says he wants nothing but peace for his country. Lumbala, who is head of the much smaller opposition rally of Congolese Democrats and Nationalist Party, had been accused of high treason by the Kabila government for allegedly supporting the M23. He returned to Kinshasa on Sunday. And that's it for this Monday, January 16th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clarty and Ricky Stryak, along with our engineer Charles Hall, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing you a very productive week. VOA.
On Friday, January the 20th, all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of the 45th U.S. President, Donald J. Trump. Be a part of history. Join VOA for 2 hours of special live coverage broadcast on radio and television and available on the internet at voanews.com. Tune in Friday, January 20th, starting at 16 hours Universal Time.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Gambian President Yahya Jammeh fired 12 ambassadors after they called for him to step aside and allow the newly elected opposition leader, Adama Barrow, to take power. A recommendation he has also heard from ECOWAS, the African Union, and the United Nations. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.